It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stenz in for Kate Archer Kent. In 1964, the U.S. government committed to tackling poverty in the country.
Many Americans live on the outskirts of hope. Some because of their poverty, and some because of their color. And all too many because of both. Our task is to help replace their despair with opportunity. And this administration today, here and now, declares unconditional war on poverty in America.
That was President Lyndon Baines Johnson in his first State of the Union address. Medicare and Medicaid were created. Social Security was expanded. Food stamps began. More than half a century later, how are we doing on that promise? What do you think is holding back families and children in Wisconsin today? We're at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Michelle Mackey is the Chief Executive Officer of Kids Forward. Kids Forward is a nonprofit research and advocacy organization that focuses on the well-being of children and families. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. It's very nice to be with you today.
I'm glad you could join us. When you look at the data, what are the biggest needs facing children and families in Wisconsin today?
Yes, you know, even before the pandemic, what we were seeing were children and families struggling a bit across our state. We're seeing that is really indicated by zip code and by race, unfortunately. And so we see that in our rural communities, children and families are struggling with having a disparity in health outcomes, in health costs, and also in terms of broadband access, which we've heard get a lot of publicity over the pandemic. We also know that there are impacts to having a high school diploma or even a bachelor's degree that cause disparity in rural counties. And so your bachelor's degree may not be worth as much in a rural county due to income disparity. And so we've seen this over time, over coming out of the Great Recession and not seeing the same kind of improvements for rural families and rural children that we've seen in other parts of the state. And then, of course, we all know that Wisconsin is one of the worst places in the country to grow up if you're a Black child. We have Milwaukee, which is one of the most segregated cities in the nation. We have demonstrated that we have extreme disparities in Dane County. And so we also saw with communities of color that they did not progress and they did not see the kind of prosperity that white families saw coming out of the Great Recession. And then, of course, we have the pandemic, and that complicated the situation. We saw many of our systems break down under the strain. And when you have that happen, the folks that get most impacted are those that have always been marginalized. So, again, children and families of color and those that are rural in rural Wisconsin.
Yeah, as you mentioned, the disparities we have in this state, I mean, when you look at the numbers, 1 in 10 Wisconsinites live in poverty. But that number, it's 1 in 4 for Native Americans, for African Americans. It's 1 in 5 for Latinos in our state. Why? Why do these disparities exist?
You know, I think really what we've seen with the research and the data is that, unfortunately, systemic racism has pervaded our structures and our policies. And what that means is that when you're looking at outcomes for communities of color, they start at a disadvantage. From the moment that they're born, even pre-birth, because we know that maternal health statistics are poor for communities of color, even before they're born, they're born in a way at a disadvantage given our social structures and our systems. Many communities of color have great assets that they have built up over time to try and have productive and effective lives and thriving lives for children and families. But though the structures that surround our ecosystem of supports, everything from healthcare to education, those have systemic racism baked within them. They were founded on systemic racism in many ways, these policies. And because of that, it's very difficult for a child or family to navigate our world and have outcomes that don't create disparity or show disparity.
And one of the things your organization is known for is the Race to Equity report drilling into that data in Dane County. And I understand you're expanding that.
Yeah, so what we're looking at, because data sort of lags coming, we use public data out of usually the census and American survey. So that data lags by up to 2 years. And what we had done was we gotten through 2017 and we were able to show a pre-pandemic view of what it was like to be a Black person in Dane County. And then the pandemic hit. And what we realized was, while that pre-pandemic story is very important, it gives a baseline. It shows that what how long it took coming out of the Great Recession for Black families and Black children to start to see some of the prosperity that others were experiencing. What we really needed to be able to do is tell that story and then also tell what we could of the pandemic story. And so we actually have a piece that just came out called Pandemic Pain Points. And it just talks a bit about Wisconsin level data and the disparity. And then we'll be using similar analysis to tell the story of the pandemic for those in Dane County. And so we're looking to release the pre-pandemic story this year and then follow very quickly with the pandemic story to the extent that the data is available. And that data will be coming out over the course of 2 years. So we'll keep telling the story as we have the data.
Sure. And I wonder what you think about the universal basic income idea. We've seen 11 cities now across the country mm-hmm. that have started pilot programs. This is where governments will directly pay families. What do you think of that idea?
Yeah, I think we should try it. You know, there we often wrote, right, it gets forward about the growing economic inequality in our state and across the nation. We have seen that both through modeling and through pilot projects that have already been underway, that it increases labor force participation to have a universal basic income, and that it could potentially add $515 billion to the national economy. And so, you know, I think we have a lot to learn about these programs before we scale it to a national universal basic income. But having a project like Madison is about to embark on, one of actually 15 cities that eventually will be in piloting this model. You know, we will have a lot of test data, a lot of analysis. We'll be able to determine what the amount should be. Most of the current modeling looks at $1,000 per month, so $12,000 per year. That's still not very much money. That's still, you know, not a family sustaining wage.
Poverty.
Exactly. It is absolutely still poverty. But what we see is that when people have that basic income, they can rely on $1,000 a month coming in. They use that as sort of a worker support fund. And so they're able to pay for childcare or housing or transportation or food, the things that make it possible for families to fully engage in the labor market. And when they don't have that, it becomes very difficult, even with our other safety net programs, for them just to have the stability of income in order to fully participate and prepare for jobs that would be providing them a family sustaining wage.
We're speaking with Michelle Mackey, the new head of Kids Forward. You're listening to The Morning Show. I'm Molly Stentz. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stentz. We're assessing the state of Wisconsin children and families this morning. How should Wisconsin prioritize social needs? What do you think of Governor Tony Evers' emphasis on equity in his proposed budget? We're at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. With us is Michelle Mackey, the new leader of the organization Kids Forward. And I want to go to the phones because we have a listener joining us from Milwaukee this morning. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, ladies. This may seem off topic, but it's people who live in poverty live in despair and under constant stress. And therefore, drugs have a major grip on people of poverty. That is why I believe our state must legalize marijuana. By doing so, they're going to take out an entire level of crime of selling and buying, and it will be easier for people to get it, and they won't have to go and get it from drug pushers. I think people should study the states that have legalized marijuana and see what the impact has been on poor people.
Thanks, Bill. Michelle Mackey, does Kids Forward weigh in on the question of drug legalization and marijuana specifically?
We haven't analyzed, done what Bill suggested yet, which is to look at the potential impact for Wisconsin, given what we've seen in other states. We have, however, looked at the fact that the governor included that in his budget and the possible fiscal impact of that. And as an organization that looks at both the expenditures that we could do in order to help children and families, we also look at the revenue possibilities to fund those programs. And I think it has been proven or shown across the country where states have enacted or legalized marijuana that there is a revenue benefit to that. And so we will be doing more research on that, more analysis of what that benefit could be, as well as looking at the impact for the juvenile justice system, the criminal justice system. As an organization that advocates strongly on racial justice topics, that we look to advance racial equity, this is clearly a space where disparity is so prevalent that if you are a white kid and you are caught with marijuana, your outcome is going to be completely different. You will probably wind up back at home and going to school and not having very many critical consequences, whereas if you're a Black kid, you are very likely to be in the juvenile justice system. And it only advances from there, depending on your age and your entry into the criminal justice system. And so we do not think that that is the direction that we should have been in, or nor the direction we should be going in. So both from the fiscal side of it and the disparity side of it, we are very intrigued by the possibilities of what legalization could mean for Wisconsin, and invite folks to visit kidsforward.org over the next year or two. And I'm sure we will have more about exactly why we feel the way we feel.
So one of the things that the governor is proposing in his budget is changing the way we prosecute minors, 17-year-olds specifically, mm-hmm. putting them back in the juvenile justice system, not trying them as adults. Why would this matter?
This is very important. We are one of three states that has not raised the age of adult jurisdiction to 18. And that doesn't mean that there will never be a 17-year-old that goes into the criminal justice system, that there won't be offenses that is appropriate for. But it won't be an automatic determination that a 17-year-old is in the criminal justice system as opposed to the juvenile justice system. That is very important because what we've learned over the past decades is that brain development shows that 17-year-olds are still very much young people. They are still very much children in terms of their reactions, in terms of their ability to control their behavior. And in terms of their ability to rehabilitate and to destroy a life at that age by putting someone into the criminal justice system for often what are, you know, these offenses like marijuana possession or something like that, is not the direction that our nation has gone to, and certainly is not the direction that Wisconsin should go into, especially since it has the worst Black incarceration rates in the nation, and is really a good reason or a reason for some of the disparity that we're seeing in the Black community. So yes, we are very involved in the Raise the Age effort. We were working with partners in Milwaukee Youth Justice. We have started a statewide platform for that work. And we just released a report earlier this year, sponsored by the Department of Justice, that shows that there are alternatives to even the juvenile justice system. When you're faced with a pandemic, you figure out alternatives to housing kids, to detaining kids. And so we're very excited about that work. We're very excited to dig into some other options that were explored during the pandemic.
We're speaking with Michelle Mackey, the new head of Kids Forward, which promotes opportunities for children and families throughout Wisconsin. And we're taking your questions, 1-800-642-1234. Let's go to the phones now. We have Steve joining us. Good morning, Steve.
Morning. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I do volunteer work in some of the inner city around the Madison area and work with some disadvantaged kids. And one of the things that's always frustrating for me is to hear how disheartened they are about their prospects. And I try to explain to them that, you know, you're going to have a changing demographics where you're going to have more people in wheelchairs than you do in strollers. There's such a great opportunity for everybody if they make good decisions. Go to school, don't do drugs, don't have children before you're ready. Make those choices and you're going to be fine. And I think it's disheartening that we have leaders that try to sell them systematic racism when they saying they can't get ahead when they can.
What do you think would help, Steve?
I think preaching what I just stated. Exactly what I just stated. There are opportunities that are out there. I've been in management now for 30 years. I've known people in management for 30 years. I can tell you, in not one aspect of my life has anyone said, I am not hiring somebody because of their skin color or what dangles between their legs.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Michelle, what do you think about that, about the power of hope and opportunity and outlook?
Hope and opportunity are very powerful. And when combined with a world that is not built on racism within our systems, there is great potential, exactly what Steve was saying. But I think it is not correct to say that we do not have systems that preference certain people over other people. Individuals may not be preferencing. Systems are built in a way that in order to allocate resources, in order to give opportunity, they have been built that has embedded within them preference. And so that is what organizations like Kids Forward works on. We also very much support the fact that there are assets in communities, and we uplift those assets, and we talk to communities about how their assets also provide opportunity, also provide them a voice in which to make the change. But if you talk to communities of color, if you talk to impacted rural people, they understand that zip code for rural folks and skin color for communities of color, or ethnic background, language for communities of color, immigration status for communities of color, that absolutely impacts their opportunity and their access. And so it is both hope and assets in a community all give you the potential for success and to be thriving member of society. But we also have these systemic issues that we must deal with.
And Michelle, before I lose you, I just wonder what you think about the state Supreme Court striking down Governor Evers' mask mandate and the impact on those individuals getting the extra food aid that was contingent upon that public health emergency.
Oh, yes, we are. I think we actually have been writing about this quite a bit. And so, again, check out kidsforward.org or wisconsinbudgetproject.org for more details. But, basically, Kids Forward is a data-informed policy center. We rely on data, just like public health relies on data. We have seen that both the quantitative data, the hard numbers, and the lived experience of communities, that this is very dangerous. That we will have masks are a very easy public health tool. And we will have an increase, a surge, and unfortunately, we will also lose out on federal funding. For SNAP, for nutrition programs for children and
Yes.
families,
Yes.
because we are not having our masks.
Well, thank you, Michelle, for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Michelle Mackey is Chief Executive Officer of Kids Forward. Up next is news. Then we learn the latest on the trial of Derek Chauvin. This is The Morning Show.